This episode is brought to you by D7. Find out why every tech should have a copy of D7 by visiting foolishit.com. And don't forget to catch the Podnuts episode, Podnuts episode 74 with the creator, Nick Shaw.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode 364, a podcast about computer repair, where we talk to a technician and get their secrets and hopefully relay them to you, the listeners. We have a great technician here today, a Podnuts regular, one of my favorites that when I used to listen to the show way back in the day, Max Monty from Max M Technologies. How's it going, Max?
I'm doing great, and I'm glad to be back on here, guys. It's been a while. We were talking before the show, and I actually couldn't really remember. I know it's been at least a year, so I feel kind of bad. And when I was asked back, I gladly accepted and was glad.
Oh, no, yeah. Thank you very much for taking the time to come on the show. As you told me, you feel like you're about 6 hours behind every day, so I'm glad that you're right. About seven today due to us. So really, really appreciate you coming on the show. Real quick before we begin, I want to remind our listeners, please, if you're going to be doing any shopping on Amazon, please use our affiliate link, podnuts.com/Amazon. It'll be the exact same interface that you use if you were to just go straight to Amazon, but you'll be helping out the network with any purchases that you were already going to make. And teaser, Max is going to bring up something from Amazon later, so if you like that, use podnuts.com/Amazon. Thank you. So, Max, I've listened to your appearances before. However, for some of the new listeners, could you go ahead and give us a recap of who you are and what your business is all about?
Sure. Once again, my name is Max Monty. I've got a little side business that I've been running for probably going on probably 4 years this summer now that I'm thinking about it, going back and thinking about the taxes and all that. So I kind of jarred it. So I'd say it's 4 years. But anyway, it's Max M Technology. And like most of us, they kind of do it if we're full time working like myself, we just do it whenever we can and kind of get to the point to where we hope that it can be our full time job. But like everyone else, work on PCs. Started picking up on Macs recently. And of course, iPhones, and try to avoid any other model of phones. I found that those are a pain in the butt to work on most of the time.
A pain in the butt to work on, and from what I understand, with the varied amount of models, having parts on hand is quite a chore.
That true, and well, we can get into that later if we want.
So. Oh, of course.
Yeah, I'd love
to. It sounds like you've diversified yourself a little bit since your previous appearances. And where are you based?
I'm in Texas, far north Texas, for those that are here in Texas. I know we got several, but up in Canadian Texas. So you can Google that and see where I'm at.
There you go.
Not I'm much sure around.
I'm sure Tracy Holtz knows just where you are. He's in McKinney, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Yeah, great. Okay, so now that you've kind of given us a recap, what kind of jobs have you been doing lately as far as PCs?
You know what? Actually, I've been staying. Well, let me kind of go back and start over here.
Sure.
I've actually stopped advertising because I've been so busy with some of my other work, and it hadn't really slowed down. So, so I'm not complaining about that, but I do have a lot of the same customers that I had previously, but I am picking up new customers along the way as well. So, but I am actually wanting, I was hoping to at the first of the year, I was going to start a new advertising campaign, start off a new web page with the recently released website.
The TechSite Builder 2?
TechSite Builder 2. Thank you.
There you go. Great product. Great product.
Yeah. So hopefully I don't know. I still haven't got that far yet, and we're in halfway through February. So, but back to what I have been doing as far as computer repairs and stuff. A lot of it, Moot has become a nuke and wipe and nuke. I can't even think.
Nuke and pave.
Nuke and pave. Whatever you want to do. Yep. complete. Factory recovery install, or a disk install.
Okay.
But, a lot of it's because of, I guess it's the new year, or the beginning of the new year, and a lot of my business clients are getting new systems, and they're wanting to reuse a lot of their systems, their laptops, and give them to a lot of their. We have a lot of oil field companies, and they pass the laptops down to field techs and ones that aren't working in the office. So if they get the abuse, then it's not that big of a deal.
So you're dealing with companies that have a distinct upgrade path now that it's like the new fiscal year, and they just kind of want to transfer their data from one machine to the other and then are trickling down the older systems then.
Right. Yeah, okay. That's what we're doing. Network installs. A lot of oil field companies, again, are growing up here, and so they're building new offices. So we're running new wiring and getting more. They're still staying busy.
Now, if I remember correctly, and I don't remember if it was your last appearance or the one before it, but you were talking about making the transition from residential to small business. If I'm not mistaken, you acquired a competitor's sort of client base. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. And that's kind of where I've been trying to focus all of the work that I have been wanting to take on or needing to take on just because they call me. Has mm-hmm. Been business based, but up here where I'm at, the nearest other computer repair shops is 100 miles away. So just for convenience of the community, I'm not going to turn them away, but I am letting them know that don't expect a quick turnaround on most things unless they really need it. So they're cool with that though. Most people usually end up having a second system anyway. Mm-hmm. Or at least do most of their email off of their smartphones. So,
okay. So would you say that as far as a percentage right now, that you're doing more small business versus residential just because it's more convenient for you, or is it paying off more? What would you say?
Yeah, it kind of seems to be, you get better payoff, like you say there, but, mm-hmm. It's something I can do of an evening most of the time. Go into their office space whenever they're not around, and do what I need to do. So.
Okay, yeah, and a lot of guys like you said, and even when I did my business, I was just doing it part time, had a full time job myself already, and mainly dealt with residential, but got some small business clients later on. So it's definitely a path that you can take, and it sounds like it's paying off for you.
Yeah, it's worth it. Gives you kind of a different way to growth path. Because when I started off, I was just trying to stick with the residential, just for the fear factor. Then once you got your feet wet and you got behind a few keyboards and found that it's not as bad as you think it would be, going into someone's main systems and knowing that. That's their only source of data they have. They're not backed up anywhere. So if you mess it up, then they're probably going to lose 2 or 3 years worth of financial data or inventory database. So you get to the point to where it's not so scary.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because, and I've spoken to other techs about this too. When I helped, and it was a friend of mine, so I already had a personal relationship with him, but he had a company, and he called me in for some consultation. But even though I knew him, even though I felt comfortable, it was still so nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Because it's a whole different ballgame. You realize you're grinding lives to a halt if you make a mistake here versus just, you can't check your email for a couple of days.
Yeah, exactly. So, you could actually cause a business to shut down and lose, an immense amount of money depending on what they do. So,
Right.
Definitely. And actually, talking about this, I did have a pucker factor, just last week. I think I threw something up on the, Google Plus about it. And I didn't come back and give a results. I was working on, one of their computers and, they were backing up or they were saving all their data only to their external hard drive, come to find out. And I got it to the shop and was going to swap out the hard drive because it was getting too small, all the data they were saving, and plugged it in and get the great window pop up and says, you need to format this before you can use it. So little pucker factor set in whenever I saw that.
That's a good way of putting it, yeah.
So I was like, okay. So I unplugged it, plugged it back in, still got the same window. I was like,
oh no.
Put it on another system, still got it. I was like, oh man. It just would not, it wouldn't show up under anything. So I did start sweating at that point, and I don't know, fear set in.
Oh yeah.
And so the best thing I could think of was freezer.
So
I actually stuck it in the freezer, and because you could hear it trying to read.
It was making like clicking noises.
Yeah, it was clicking. So I assumed the head had to be stuck. So I gently tapped on it, Never would release. Couldn't get any. So it was sticking in the freezer. So I stuck it in there, and then I got busy and I forgot, and I came back 2 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
And pulled it out, and it's like, crap.
Oh, no.
But I plugged it in. It ticked, and it popped up there, and I was like, oh, man. So I went in there and fired up my recovery program and quickly started recovering files.
Oh, yeah. Wow, you are lucky.
That was, I'm not going to say there was no skill in that. I would want to say that was straight luck out the door.
But okay, so now, how would you prevent, let's say, liability from that in the future? Would you? I mean, what I'm thinking from based on that story and what I've had to do with other equipment, at the client's location, whether it be their home or their business, and I've heard other techs talk about this too. Test the equipment before you basically take not ownership, but take it under your care. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if it was working beforehand cause they were having problems. I think that was initially part of the problem anyway, because they were just saying it just takes a long time to read their data and for it to save and, you know, it'll freeze up. So I'm going with the fact that it was failing before I even touched it.
Right.
So, I think me touching it was a good thing for them. So I'm going to go with that.
it could have been much worse because you and I know, and those who have dealt with it before understand that those are symptoms that the drive is starting to fail.
Right.
And yeah, if they had tried to boot it up, you know, a few more times, the thing could have been completely dead. And man, yeah, you're one of the only people that I've actually talked to, like live in person, where the freezer trick has worked. Because I had to drive. Man, you must have been jumping for joy.
I didn't do anything until I knew I had it on the new hard drive and on my server. So,
right. So you backed it. So you did the correct thing. You actually backed it up in two spots.
Yeah, yeah. I've got
there. You go.
A little server that I got set that, and I tell my clients, mainly my business people, that, hey, you know, if I take this back to the shop, I got a server, I'm going to put it on there and it's just going to sit there. I don't care what it is, you know, in case we ever need it. And then eventually I do purge all that data. So I don't keep it, but, I let them know that I have it for a certain amount of time until, you know, I get around to cleaning it off or need the space. So
now do you just have like a verbal agreement with that, or do you have paperwork they want to fill out?
No, I
mean, that you're asking, you know, to fill out
legally,
to kind of cover yourself?
Yeah, legally, you know, I should probably do a paperwork thing, but you know, Texas and up here, you know, it's the good old boy, you know, your word mentality. Is your word. So
there you go. Well, that's good. Well, yeah, I'm just glad to hear that worked for you, because yeah, I've done the drive. Now did you stick it in something? Because I'm talking like. I'm imagining that you reanimated something. Let's just say that is that epic. What did you put it in first, or did you just stick the drive in the freezer?
No, it was an enclosed
external, right.
Yeah, enclosed external hard drive, whatever. Yeah, and so, yeah, no, I started to bag it, but I was like, well, if I bag it, it's gonna you know, cause it to collect condensate because it was warm still. So I was like,
wait. Huh. Wow.
Yeah, I knew at that point, I don't know. I mean, at that point, it was already dead, you know, unless, you know, you send it off to recovery.
Well, I'm glad to hear it worked out.
Yeah, I am too.
Very, very cool. Very cool. All right. So, I meant to ask you this earlier, but I'm glad you didn't because I got to hear that awesome story. So now, with your small business clients, are you are they upgrading to Windows 8 machines, or are they trying to stick on 7?
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
I know it's probably like pulling a fresh scab, but
inquiring
minds want to know.
It's really hard to find a decent system without Windows 8 on it. I mean, at least the last few times that I've been shopping for my customers, it's been really hard. And I almost ended up, we were probably about two clicks away from just going straight to Dell and, you know, or getting a custom system that way. But, I did end up finding something on Amazon. And you know, no, I didn't. I did have to end up going with Windows 8, and I told them that, because the system that I did want, there was only one of them in stock, and they wanted to have you know, all new systems being matching, and I really did too. You know, just it's just more convenient whenever you're trying to do you know, installs that way. You just do one, and then you can, you know, ghost it across. So
right.
So yeah, we did have to go with Windows 8 for my last customers. The previous customer, I was able to actually get. They wanted a touch screen, I think I just happened to be on Amazon at the right time, looking for a touch screen that was Windows 7, that was a 24-inch. I mean, they were like, it has to be this, it has to be this. And, so I just happened to be there at the right time. So, but yeah, like you say, Windows 8 is starting to creep up on us, and I need to go ahead and get my install put back up on my virtual, so I can start tinkering with that a little more again.
Oh yeah, it's here to stay, and yeah, it's I mean, especially in just walking into a store, you can't get a Windows 7 machine anymore; they're just gone. They either blew them out or they were recalled by the manufacturer to put Windows 8 on them and then put them back out. So, yeah.
If, you know, and of all times, I actually really feel like I'm losing a good friend with Windows 7.
with losing Windows 7, you mean?
Yeah, right. Losing a good friend with Windows 7 right. Going away, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, well, you and I could go on forever about that, I'm sure. But I was just curious because I haven't got to talk to Wadatex lately. Now that 8 is really, I mean, just the driving force in the retail space. And if you're ordering systems from, you know, like you were saying, Dell or HP or Lenovo, that's what they're coming with. Mm-hmm. And have you had any clients of yours ask for an 8 to 7 downgrade? And have you done one of those yet?
No, I haven't. And you know, I may look into that for them, just because they have some older equipment that I'm not sure if it's gonna, you know, if it's gonna work, because it was Vista capable. So you know, I don't know if we're gonna make it all the way up to 8 or not.
Got it. Yeah, I'm not. I haven't investigated the as far as the specs that 8 would require, but I'm sure it's just a little bit more than 7, based on all, especially all the graphical interface, specifically with that Metro interface. It's pretty. It's much more advanced. So, okay. Now you were talking a bit about earlier about how you're not really marketing anymore. Now, you were saying that that's because you're staying busy, and ultimately I think that you made a decision that some people don't make soon enough, is that they realize their limitations. So were you just getting so many requests where you felt yourself stretched even thinner than before?
Yeah, that was a lot of it. I just couldn't keep up with what I was getting. I wanted to not take systems in and just have them around. There were some of them that, I was having to hang on to them for a while. Even though they say it's fine, it's just, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right. So I was trying not to do that, but it's still, like I say, I still staying pretty busy with it. And, I am seriously considering, with my wife, has got a new job going on, and she's doing really great with that. We're maybe considering me dropping my full time and upping my business in the computer business, and then I don't know, that may be something maybe this spring or midsummer that I may end up doing. So to think about it, it's kind of scary. So for those that've been there, you know what it's like, and I don't like thinking about it.
I'm sure. Yeah. But I mean, if the demand for your service is there, and it sounds like you're in kind of a more remote area, then yeah, I mean, no one's going to know, your customer base better than you.
Right.
So yeah, I wish you the best of luck in that. That sounds like a bright future. It's always nice to kind of drop your 9-to-5. I've done it. I've dropped an old 9-to-5 for a new 9-to-5. So I was at least satisfied there. So,
right.
It's nice. It's nice. It's very good. Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So, as far as services for your business clients or even your residential, what exactly do you offer aside from basic stuff? Is there something that makes you stand out from your competitors?
No, I haven't really picked up on anything other than just maintaining, good customer service, good interaction with them. Most people up here, they don't really want to have too much going on with their computers or with their business. They just want to be able to click save, do their documents, do their QuickBooks. So the main thing I just try to keep with them is backing up and keeping them updated with their, all the Adobe updates and
Java,
all their Java updates and their basic updates, their virus updates and stuff like that. So it's, thankfully it's pretty easy in that aspect. I've wanted to do other services, and I've tried to maybe get some people on the office. I just drew a blank. Instead of buying new software, the Office?
You're talking about Office 365?
Office 365.
The web-based one?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, nobody likes to change around here.
Yeah. Well.
And there's really no need to. So I'm not going to try to force them into something. Because what's going to happen is they're not going to fully understand it. I'm not going to have the time to give them. And so I don't want to sell them something and then not be able to, support them with something new that they didn't really, really need in the first place.
Well, no, that's a good point. Yeah, don't take a short-term game for a potential long-term loss
right. When
it comes to setting people up. And in my experience, and definitely speak to this if this is the case for you too, a lot of customers, whether it be residential, business, whatever, they just know the results they want. They don't care about the process to get there.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. A lot of times you're like, well, I found your virus, it was a rootkit, it does. And they're like, well, can I use my computer? Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like when my mechanic goes over, yeah, there was this problem, this. I'm like, great. So can I drive it now?
Exactly.
That type of thing. Yeah. Cause I have no idea about cars at all. Yeah. But please take that as a lesson, listeners, when you're talking to anybody about anything they don't understand, you can if you're looking at them in the eye, you can see that point where they just kind of glaze over a bit and you see them disconnect. And that's with anything in life. So if you're trying to sell them on services or explain it to them, just realize that at a certain point they don't care or they don't understand.
Yeah, that's when so you say, stop. So how's the weather?
Right, exactly. Yeah, roll into something else. So as far as backup for your customers, are you offering physical options, off-site options? What are you currently offering?
No, just using little external drives. You know, I mean, that's not the best option, but, you know, it's better than what most of them have, which is, you know, their single hard drive. So.
Right, yeah. And if that thing dies, boom, done.
Exactly.
So what kind of drives are you reselling? Because I know that some techs are favored to certain brands, some techs are favored to what's on sale that week. So what do you like and where are you getting them at an affordable price to be able to justify continuing with what you are offering?
You know, usually on my systems and whenever I do a new drive, an internal drive on whether it be a desktop or a laptop, I always, for whatever reason, I always just stick with Western Digitals. Mm-hmm. But for these external drives, for some reason, I'm just hooked on getting Toshiba's. I don't know why. They do come with the software most of the time. And the past few that I've had, they haven't been the a trial basis backup software. You know, they've just been a straight full backup, and you don't got to worry about it shutting down on them. You know, 60 days or something like that. But I also have been using SyncToy as a program for backing up on people's computers too. So
SyncToy, I'm not familiar with that. Could you elaborate?
It's a old Microsoft program, and it's SyncToy, SyncToy, and you know, it's from the XP days. It works good. I mean, you know, you set it up, it runs off the schedule, task manager schedule, and one of the big things about it is that it does try to require a password, but you can go and do a reg edit and drop that off to where it will back up without the password. So it works good too. Some techs may say, well, you're missing a sales point, trying to sell them a backup software. But, you know, I just try to keep it as cheap as I can for everybody. They usually appreciate it. If I got something that's a free program that I feel like is a program that is sufficient for what they need, then, like SyncToy, I'll throw that on there. I'm still using Microsoft Security Essentials on most everything too. Unless it's a business that sometimes insurance wise, for what software or not necessarily, but for what data they're using, they'll require a paid program. So. And if that's the case, usually I'll go with the Kaspersky and put Kaspersky on there and run that. Because I don't know, it's been a while since I bought an AVG. A lot of my clients still have AVG, but it just seems too dominating still. I don't know if it's still the case or not. A lot of times you have to come in and shut down a lot of services just for them to use stuff. So.
Yeah, there's a cycle where some of them will become super light and just super straight to the point. We get in, we do our business, and then some of them start to get notoriety. I'm like, okay, well, we're going to bundle these 18 other services in, and they're booting up. And then, hey, you want to get this taskbar? Hey, you want to make this your default browser? That type of thing. And it seems to be kind of cyclical between them. But Kaspersky is what I also used because it's pretty highly rated, and it just got in there and really did the job.
Right, and back in the days, I used Avast, however you want to say it. Then it, like you said, it fell into that cycle where it just kind of got heavy. But I had a residential client that had it on her laptop the other day. Oh man, She got the old, this is Microsoft call. So,
oh yeah. Yep.
And, but, you know, as I was going through her system, seeing that she had that, the Avast on there, and I was watching it and using it, and it was light, and, it, I had some pretty good features. You know, it had its own firewall going on and email check and, you know, the full software or so full package that they usually include on those. And, I liked it. I mean, it ran smooth. It didn't cause me any problems, and I was able to, you know, the good thing is I was able to shut it down without a big rigmarole and a big fight. Whenever I came in there to try to clean up all the, crap he put on there, once he remoted into her system. So,
oh, so she actually took the call and then thought it was legit, and people and someone got in there.
Yeah, she did. Okay. She let him remote into it. He put in a bunch of weird command lines and inputs, and ended up burying a little package. Back in, trying to remember what folder. It wasn't the System 32, and it wasn't Windows. You know, I can't remember. I'd have to pull my paperwork out to remember where he had put it, but, you know, he put it back there pretty good, and, CombiFix pulled it out. So thanks again, CombiFix.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're relying on some old mainstays then to sort of clean this up.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, I mean, and you and I spoke about this before the show too. We see all sorts of new tools coming on all the time and updates to old ones. And I like to hear that the programs that we used, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, are still in the running as opposed to just fading away.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing a new generation sort of come in, as long as it's functional, as long as I'm hearing people getting results from it, I'll give it a try. So, but I'm really glad to hear that CombiFix is working for you still.
Yeah.
That's good.
I still like it.
Cool. Well, you also mentioned that you're taking on more Mac customers. Let's sort of transition into that. What is that also from your mainly business centric or residential?
No, just personal self change, personal development, or growth, or you know whatever you want to say. Just mm-hmm. wanted to add something new to the business because I do have a lot of. People around here that run Macs just because someone told them that they were good, so they go and buy them, you know.
Right. Okay.
When you've got 30 oil well leases on your land, buying a Mac really isn't that big of a deal.
Right. Yeah. Or buying one in a spare just in case exactly. It's sitting there. Yeah. The tower's on top of the box of the second one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I've been having a lot of people ask me that, and they bring it in, and just that familiar with the OS. So I was like, you know, it's about mm-hmm. time that I start. So I got on probably about 6 months ago. I guess it's probably been that long ago already. Maybe not. Maybe November, December. But I went on eBay and just started, you know, picking up cheap MacBooks that. You know, they said they didn't work and they were for spare, you know, for parts only and all this stuff. And just to tinker with them, open them up, look at them, you know, mm-hmm. that's worth $200. If it got that high or whatever. And, you know, that, right. that's been, I've got a couple of them to actually revive. So, that was worth it, you know.
That's good. Well, also, the lesson to be taken from that is that you saw a need in your customer base and you fulfilled that need. But you in doing that, you needed to sort of upgrade your skill set, not just provide a different product.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah, and I mean, with Macs becoming more prevalent in both mainly education and residential, I would say more than business. But if you're going to be providing service to either of those two main demographics, yeah, you're going to come across some Macs. Mm-hmm. And even if you're using, in my experience anyway, if you're using some of the OS X from, you know, 2, 3 years ago, once you sort of know how to navigate the basics, you know, navigating the operating system isn't that hard for even the newer ones.
Right.
So, So are you yourself running like a system at home that you can just use for testing out the OS and navigating it, or?
I got a MacBook and I got it. It was advertised for parts not working. The guy said he had it a month and he spilt beer on it and took it in, and you know, they told him it didn't work. I was like, well, I'll see what I can do, and broke it down, cleaned it off with alcohol, let it set for a while, put it back together. Lo and behold, the dang thing fired up, and dropped a new hard drive in it, and picked up some. OS equivalent for the, because it's not a newer one. I mean, about a three years old. And the guy said he bought it, had it a month, spilt the beer, put it in the closet after he found out how much it'd be.
Oh,
I went back and bought software for equivalent and loaded it up, and I'm using it. I've got it sitting in front of me right now. I was about to fire it up because I was having those problems before the show started. So.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I like it. You know, I've got, and I also picked up an iMac. It's an older one. And it had the bad NVIDIA video card on it.
Thankfully,
it was the one that you can replace. So whenever I have some time, I'm going to pick one up off of eBay. I see I've got my eBay set up to where, you know, it'll pop up and tell me I've got an item that you're looking for has been, you know, listed. So.
Those notifications are nice.
Yeah, those are.
So they are.
You know, whenever I get some time worked in there, which you know how everyone knows how that is.
Oh yeah.
Just end up having to do it. So I'll get one of those ordered and throw it in there, and hopefully it'll work, and I'll have me an iMac.
There you go.
Because I picked it up for what was it, like $150. Oh, and the video card I've been looking at, whenever they come up, they're usually $200 or $250. So what is that, $300, $400 for
an iMac? Much less than if you were to buy the full system on eBay, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah. Is this one of the old, like, the silver and black ones, or one of the old white ones, or?
Silver and black. No, this is, I've got a silver and black one sitting over here that needs a screen replacement. But the one I got is, it's the old white one.
Oh, okay.
Because that was the only one that could do the driver or the video card swap on.
Oh, so the newer ones, it's more integrated into the board where it's not necessarily a secondary component. It's more really hard to sort of tear out of there and replace.
Yeah, you got
to
do the whole solder work and all that stuff. And
I wonder if that's by design. I'm not a solder guy.
No, not at all.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I see. I looked up and I seen your expression just as you said that.
Yeah. Oh, well. So ultimately, would you say you're doing, I mean, you're more versed in, well, I shouldn't say more versed, but you're doing a lot of Mac hardware jobs?
Just for my own personal stuff.
Okay.
You know, personal learning by buying these older parts only style MacBooks and stuff. Anything else has been just the customer getting it and not knowing how to use the operating system because they had they had a PC. They get the iPhone and they're like, well, I got an iPhone, I might as well get a MacBook. And so they get that.
Oh yeah.
And I guess they fail to realize that it is a pretty significant difference.
Yep. Yeah. That
was the main thing.
I had a customer of mine right before I stopped, basically. She saw her friend's MacBook and decided, yeah, I'm going to go get an iPad. And that's the last time I'll ever do like training for someone ever again after dealing with this person. She literally, basically, if you're gonna provide like lessons, you better be getting paid your hourly rate or more.
No doubt. Yeah. And
don't cut them a deal, because it's some of the most frustrating stuff you ever do.
It is. If you are, a lot of techs, they self-admittedly say, yeah, I'm not a people person. That's why I like to repair them in the back of the shop. then you better not be obligating yourself to, you know, wanting to teach people how to use a system, because it can rapidly get frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're right. Well, for both parties.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one thing to know how to use it up and down yourself, but then to be able to explain it to an individual who has those individual needs. So, yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear, though, that you're sort of diversifying and heading into the Mac arena as far as hardware, because, yeah, getting those suckers open is much harder, especially now, than some modern day PCs. Mm-hmm. Because they're very, very tightly woven, I should say, boxes and laptops. So
you're
used to, from what I understand, you're getting used to dealing with even smaller devices in the realm of iPhones. Could you go into that a bit? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I picked up on. I guess whenever the back in the 3 models, the first iPhone I had was a 3, and so I was like, okay, these are pretty cool. Started using it. Someone called me up one day and said, can you fix an iPhone? And I was like, sure. went on to iFixit, looked to see how they did the repair, and, you know, of course, the 3, for those that do iPhones, you know, they know how easy the 3 literally was to fix. Then when the 4 came out, it was pretty much a reverse process, but it was still an easy process. For those that feel comfortable working with, a small device, unfortunately, I quickly noticed that my eyesight is not near as strong as it was 2 years ago. 3 years ago.
Oh, really?
So I do have my magnifying glass that's on the extension arm, like a lot of techs probably have.
Oh, there you go.
So
yep, those
pull
are
that
awesome.
Bad boy down there. And sometimes, that's still not enough. Depending on what I'm working on, I'll break out my jeweler's glasses and pull it, flip that down and use the magnifying on that whenever I'm trying to get some, minuscule screw reset or something like that. But I know a lot of techs have picked up working on the iPhones, and I've tried to fix a few other phones that weren't iPhones. I'm trying to remember what the phone my son had a couple of years ago. I guess it was a year. I don't even remember now. Like I say, time has blown by. But I took that apart, and it's still apart over there in one of my drawers. It was a total pain in the butt because there were just so many little parts. So many of the ribbons were, required. They were the sticky ribbons,
right?
The way where you had to lay it back down, or when you had to peel it up, you had to make sure that you didn't, pull the ribbon itself apart. Because of all the sticky. I was like, I just gave up on those. People still ask me. I had a lady drop off her, was it Samsung Galaxy Note, and wanted me to repair that. Anytime I get a phone that I've never worked on, I'll give it a chance just because I like that challenge. And I'll pull up iFixit and see their procedures. And it actually looked like it was pretty easy to repair. But when I started looking for the prices on them, because she had busted not only the digitizer, but she had broke the LCD. And the LCD, the price on that was like $220, $225. And I was like, the first time job for me, I'm not going to, for the price of the screen, I'm not going to take it on. I'm sorry. And she was like, well, that's okay. I was just wanting to use it for a backup phone anyway. Cause my insurance covered, from me a new one. So I was like, oh, good for you. Looks like you got yourself a paperweight.
And, a very large paperweight.
Yeah, exactly. And then I had a guy drop off. He actually dropped off a couple of, I can't think of what they are. Dadgummit. I don't want to roll over there and look, but he has two of them. And the screens on them aren't that much. Actually, they were, I think they were like $125, and getting ready to call him back. I watched the iFixit on it, and it's just not, you know, with my schedule, as much as I would like to learn that, I'm not going to put my time into it. It's just not worth it. You know, if I had more time, I mean, maybe if I start doing this full time where I don't have my main job going on, you know, I might give me some spare time in between to pick some stuff like that. But I just started sticking with the iPhone because I knew it, and they're easy to work on. iPads, same thing, you know, they're not that bad. Once you can get the glass off and not, rip out the Wi-Fi antenna. Anytime I order new glass, I automatically order a Wi-Fi antenna just because, they're so little and fragile right there at the bottom that, a lot of times they get damaged, and I'll replace it just because, you know, it's not that much. I think they're like $3 or something like that. They're an easy fix. They're just right there. You know, pull the ribbon tape off of it and reset it. So, because whenever I fixed mine, I didn't do that, and I've got limited Wi-Fi range. If I go out more than, maybe 15, 20 feet, it starts fading quickly. So. I'll experiment on my stuff first before I take on anybody else's stuff. And those that have been repairing iDevices, they're going to know the next thing, to talk about it are the iTouches or touch. I always call it an iTouch. I know it's not the proper name, but everyone else calls it the iTouch. The customers do. So I'll just go along with
it. Of course.
I'm not going to connect them. Yeah, it's an iTouch.
Sounds good.
The iPod touches are a pain in the butt for those that have repaired them. They know and understand, but I'll still do them just because it's a challenge, and I have a lot of them come through here, and I've got a technique in it now to where it's not as bad as it used to be. Just make sure you heat the crap out of that screen. You're gonna lose it anyway, so.
Well, now I'm curious. Now, are you saying that the iPod touches are harder than the phones? And if so, why?
Oh yeah, they are. Just first to start off, they're a lot thinner, so they're harder to hold. But you have to take out the, I'll just call it the mid plate. It's a silver plate that's in the bottom of it, and then whenever you go in, and you have to reset the screen LCD. Attachment, it's underneath the camera, so you can't take the device fully apart the way that it's built. For those that, you know, that haven't messed with one, go into iFixit. It's mainly the fourth gen iPods that are like this. The third gens are not that bad, but you have to make sure that you get the connection just right, and I wish I could bring it up and show it, but those that have worked on it know what I'm talking about, and those that haven't, if you want to, better use yours or buy one off eBay. Yeah, that's what I recommend, is anybody that wants to try to get into, I would say any phone repair business, but you know, iPhone, iPod, go into eBay, see if you can't pick something up really cheap and just tear into that bad boy and use some online guides and, you know, pull up YouTube. You'll find tons of videos.
Is there a specific tool that you're referring to that you use with success?
Yeah. I ended up and I don't remember how I even found it. I think I was looking for parts or something one day, and I just seen, you know, because anyone that's bought parts knows that it comes with a little kit, and it includes the guitar pick that you use to help pry it open, and then it has the little plastic spurger, and you know, anyone that's used them know that the ones that come with the repair kits, just they're not worth anything. So and I knew there had to be something out there. And I had found some longer, they almost look like a chopstick, but they were a little more durable. But they still weren't the tool that I was wanting. And I ended up coming across a tool called iSesamo. That's I, then S-E-S-A-M-O. And I got a link dropped right there.
I see that.
And you can go into Amazon and pick that up. I'll say it out again. iSesamo, and it's I-S-E-S-A-M-O. And it's an awesome tool. And for the price of it, I bought three of them just because I wanted to know that I had them. They're like $10. And it's a really thin aluminum tool. And then, it's probably about four and a half inches long. And it's got, one end of it, is nicely rounded. It's got rounded edges off of it. And it's real thin. And the other end is kind of got an angle to it, that's rounded. And then, the center parts of it has got a plastic rubber coating on it, so you can get good grips on it. And the thing is,
oh, nice.
Flimsy. You know, you would think that it wasn't worth anything, but, it snaps back into shape. And it's really thin, and it's perfect. It's perfect for iPods. That's why, if it wasn't for this, I wouldn't be doing iPods anymore, just because this makes it so much easier that you can just, once you get your screen heated, pry this up underneath there, and just, you can just run it around the whole frame, pulling that, glass off of there, and not worry about, ripping out any of the speaker wire or messing up the camera, connections up at the top of it. And that's really the primary tool I use it for, is on the iPods. I use it on my iPad jobs whenever I've done that. But if you do any repairs on small device, I would say pretty much any devices that you got to pry open, check this thing out. I mean, it's well, you know, $8, dude. It had. Worth it. I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. No. I'm definitely gonna order one after the show, because I have a couple Android phones of my own that I'm looking into doing some digitizer replacements. And yeah, and this thing, it's also, I mean, it's steel, so it's paper thin.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done some repairs where I needed something like this. One was my father's original Mac Mini. Because it has an outer casing, you need to pry with something like this. I ended up using a super thin putty knife, but even that was way too wide.
Right.
This is only, what, maybe 3/4 of an inch to an inch wide. Is that right? A little bit wider, maybe.
Yeah, I thought the pamphlet here had actual dimensions on it, but it doesn't. But yeah, it's I don't know, maybe an inch wide. Across all the way, and
yeah.
It's a tool that is well worth it.
Very cool. And yeah, I can definitely speak to the lower quality of those, the plastic spudgers and the tools that they give you if you buy your own replacement parts. Because I replaced a battery in an old iPod second gen of mine. And the tools they gave me as I was using them, the plastic was shaving off the thin edge of the tool.
Yeah.
So it was becoming more and more useless as I was making my way around the device. It was basically disposable. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The further you slid it, the further it destroyed itself.
Right, yeah.
This shows that it's 30 millimeters wide.
That'll make sense to Chris Berry.
Yeah, so for anyone that...
that's very cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, this is a great looking tool. And yeah, if you guys are definitely looking into doing those repairs, Max spoke of it highly, so definitely check it out. Well, very good.
I don't know if I have much notes here. Hopefully I won't pick up any phone static here. Another looking at my notes here, coming back, because I'm in such a rural area, I have a lot of my clients, their only means to the internet is either HughesNet or through WildBlue.
Okay.
You know, for anyone that deals with the satellite internet service, they know how annoying that can be for not only your client, but for yourself if you ever need to do any work. It's probably been almost maybe a year ago now, I think, that WildBlue got bought out by a California company called Viasat, and they drastically improved the service that they customers previously had. I mean, they changed the daily download limit that WildBlue had set in place. They dropped the prices. They brought out new hardware. They increased the speeds on the hardware. I think they even actually lowered some of the prices on it. And I've been getting a lot of jobs for customers making the switch from HughesNet to that company. And then our local or regional electric company has just brought out a new service just the past couple of months. And, you know, I was going to look before we started the show and I totally forgot. It's basically almost like a WiMAX from what I understand. It's not satellite based.
Oh.
I've got a customer that just got it installed the other day, and he's going to kind of follow up and let me know how it works for him. Hopefully it's going to be something that will improve service around here, because we still don't even have 3G in our area. So that's how bad it is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So between WildBlue and HughesNet, if I'm not mistaken, are they both satellite providers?
Yeah. They're both satellite providers that anyone that has a ranch around here, they've got one of those two services, and everyone's jumping off of HughesNet, going to that Viasat. And I'm sure that here in the next few months, they'll be going with the North Plains. I don't know. I'm just going to call it WiMAX for right now until I find out a little bit more about it. But it definitely sounded like that was going to be the more viable option for those that need that type of service. So I'm interested to find out a little bit more about that.
Yeah, definitely. And that is also a very important piece of information, knowing your local ISPs for the customers you're going to be providing. Because In certain cases, when I was a tech, I got on the phone for customers with their ISP and just basically being straight into the point of, this is unacceptable. I had to say the word unacceptable and escalate me to a supervisor immediately.
Exactly.
More times than I've ever had to do for myself with certain providers. And again, what you were speaking of and what Steve spoke about many times, goodwill goes far.
Yeah.
So if you know that they have awful service, that's not only hindering their experience, but preventing you from doing a job, let's say on site, faster, then it's your duty to sort of let them know what their options are. And you're just doing that out of the kindness of your own heart. You're not getting a kickback from these companies. True. You're just saying, hey, have you heard about this? So even getting them onto another service, hand-holding them through that, it's just going to create much more goodwill between you and that person or that business later on when you need to suggest other things to them, which you may, in fact, financially benefit from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true, very true. I mean, you know, like you say, most people, all they want to do is check their email, surf their online, play their games, check their Facebook, and you know, they just know what they hear from, you know, from their neighbor or from a family member or whatever. So yeah, I mean, what you say is true. You know, go out of your way to help take care of your customers, because you know, like you say, if it's not a direct financial gain right then, it will be. You know, it'll come around. You'll gain off of it some way or the other.
That's very, very true, and great words to go out on. As we wrap up, Max, can you go ahead and let us know where we can find you online?
Yeah, I've got Let's see, my webpage for now is still running the old school setup, so hopefully I'll get that changed out, but you can find that at maxmtechnology.com. Probably my best way to catch me is probably across Twitter, and that's at MaxTmon, and you know, I've got every other social media going on out there. You know, if you need to know where I'm at, there you go. Just check me out on Twitter. Drop me an email at, maximtechnology@gmail.com, I guess. I don't know. I don't even keep up with that one too much. There we go.
So lots of avenues to get a hold of you.
Yeah, I'm all over.
Well, that's good. That's very good. Well, Max, we do really appreciate you coming on the show. I hope to have you again in the near future, because it sounds like you have some, you're definitely widening your skill set. You're potentially going into the next phase, the next step. So please keep in touch with us, because we want to hear about your success in the future.
Oh, yeah, sure. Like I told Dor at the first of the year, I want to get back with the community since I dropped off for a while. I keep trying to, but things keep coming up. So, you know, you guys, you know, check in with the community every now and then. And if anything, you know, jump on the forums and, keep up that way and, keep listening to the podcasts.
Definitely. Yeah. The podcast is of course the, one of the best ways to do it, but in between the shows, the forums are a great resource, and I'm just like you and probably some others, in the past, I haven't been utilizing those as much. And there are so many, aside from just logging onto the actual website, there are so many great new mobile tools with which to read forums. Tap-a-Talk Pro is one that comes to mind.
Yeah, I love that.
So, oh man, it's, yeah, there's a new version specifically for tablets. I think it's Tap-a-Talk Pro HD, if I'm not mistaken, Tap-a-Talk 2, something like that. But yeah, awesome. And you're very, very right. Always feel welcome to reach out to anyone in the community, because I can speak not only from a listener's point of view, but from a podcaster's point of view. When I need help from some of these guys, I go to them and they're back in a flash.
Yeah.
So in any medium, you can touch base with any of the previous guests or just people that are exclusively in the forums or on like our Podnuts community on Google+. They're all great guys, so never hesitate to reach out. Great. And if you are going to go check out that iSesimo, please use our Podnuts .com/Amazon link, and you'll be also benefiting the community all at the same time. So wrapping up for Podnuts Daily, I'm Cody Cooper. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.